Work moves fast. Every email, report, and proposal counts. That's where Grammarly comes in. It's your one place to think, write, and finish. Grammarly's AI agents help you find natural phrasing, fine-tune tone, and confidently write wherever you work. It's the premier writing tool that 93% of users trust to get more work done. In a world of generic AI, don't sound like everyone else. With Grammarly, you never will. Download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com.
Hey everyone, it's me, Sam Stein, Managing Editor of The Bulwark. I'm joined by Will Sommer, who is the author of the False Flag newsletter, and Andrew Egger, who is the co-author of Morning Shots, an inferior newsletter, but a more broadly read newsletter. I don't know. What am I going for here? We are here to talk about what I consider one of the most ridiculous recent scandals. Actually, it probably ranks in the mid-tier, but it's pretty funny either way. Yesterday, this kind of went under the radar, but there's person online, and Will's going to explain all this stuff to us because he lives this, who is accusing the very insidery DC publication Punchbowl of being responsible for the fact that John Thune, the Senate Majority Leader, won't move the primary piece of legislation that President Donald Trump wants, the SAVE Act or the SAVE America Act. It's really confusing, and the chart is hilarious. But before we get to the chart, Will, can you just unpack this for the layman? Like, who are these people? What is the actual accusation here?
Yeah, sure. So this stars a woman named Jenica Pounds, who is a software engineer in Utah, who is better known online as Data Republican. And, you know, the data there, as it suggests, she kind of rose to fame in the Doge era. She was sort of this amateur Doge vigilante, beloved by Elon. She would run all these spreadsheets and she would say, "Elon, I found some money to save." And he would say, "Great." And for example, he might cut refugee funding, you know, one thing he did because she highlighted it for him. But overall, like, she's also sort of notorious for getting things wrong all the time. And she sort of like misinterprets things and she'll whip up these mobs of people being like, "I found government waste." And someone will say, "No, you know, you misunderstood what happened here." And she'll go, "Ah, well, my Excel sheet told me so." So she's someone who is constantly kind of like blundering around, but she's seen as this kind of like genius by certain Republicans, including Utah Senator Mike Lee.
Okay, before we get to Andrew, let's talk specifically about her latest charge. She is alleging that John Thune will not bring the Save America Act to the floor, or rather, he won't eliminate the filibuster to pass the Save America Act because he's controlled by Punchbowl, a publication that was launched a couple of years ago. I can't fathom this. I don't understand.
He's in the pocket of Big Punchbowl, Sam. He's blown this whole thing wide open.
We all live in fear of Punchbowl here in D.C. Yeah, so the SAVE Act, this includes these Republican restrictions on voting, and the challenge in the Senate has been, I mean, Donald Trump wants it so bad, a lot of Republicans want it, but they can't overcome a Democratic filibuster. So Punchbowl, which of course, as you mentioned, Sam, is kind of an insidery, expensive publication to subscribe to, they have been reporting accurately on all these issues, saying John Thune, the majority leader, he doesn't want to put it in front of the Senate because, you know, they can't overcome the filibuster, all these kind of practical legislative concerns. Now, for whatever reason, Data Republican, Jenica, keyed in on the fact that Punchbowl, among other outlets, was saying, "Here are the issues." And she said, "This is interesting. I think John Thune is controlled by Punchbowl. And in fact, it's Thunebowl news." And so that is her argument.
But why would he be controlled by Punchbowl?
Well, she's made some org charts or some flow charts that we'll take a look at.
Can we pull up one of the flow charts? This will help us maybe.
Now, some have called this, said it looks like a cottage cheese ad. So this is actually the more legible one that's been made, right? Okay, so we see John Thune, right? And it kind of spins around.
It looks like she's making hummus or something. What is this?
It looks like a kind of a seal of approval. So essentially, okay, She's arguing that John Thune, because he once went on a Punchbowl podcast, there's some nefarious link here where companies and congressional offices subscribe to Punchbowl. Then they, I guess, in her theory, provide favorable coverage of John Thune. And then because he loved going on the Punchbowl podcast 6 months ago, he refuses this key legislative priority. Who knew they had all this power?
All right, Andrew, what do you make of this?
It's so hard to know even where to begin with this. I mean, we can talk about Data Republican herself a little bit. This is her specialty, right? She's doing this thing, this sort of thing constantly claiming to be sort of like blowing the lid off of one scandal or another based on, you know, some random connection that she dredged up, like this one, like the fact that, you know, a politician went on a Congress-focused publications podcast, that sort of thing. Or like last year, you know, we should give our own Data Republican disclosure that Data Republican is pretty sure that our Bill Kristol, the reason why he was so opposed to Grok last year is because he's secretly funded by USAID. I don't know how Bill is.
Not
still,
Grok,
you know,
Doge. You said Grok. He's opposed to
Doge. During the Doge. Yeah, during the Doge stuff. Like USAID has been gone for a year. Bill is still, as far as I can tell, not walking around with like one of those cartoon barrels around him to signify his new poverty or anything like that. But that's her. I mean, I think that she has sort of like a genius for one specific thing on the internet, which is she's had this sort of realization that like everybody knows you can just sort of take a screenshot of text out of context and use that to make sort of false claims, wildly misleading claims online. What she has realized is you can actually just like build a screenshot that is too complicated for anybody to really understand, or it's like, you know, it's just like a list of facts and figures, or it's a flow chart like that.
Let's get the other flow chart up, because this one is not too complicated to understand. It's just stupid. I just want to go through this. We're going to start with number one, corporate sponsors. So the allegation, if you follow the arrow right, they've given $9 million a year in sponsorships to Punchbowl. No, she doesn't cite any data. I have no idea if this is true. Just whatever.
Probably is. Who knows?
Maybe. Could be more, could be less. All right. 2 to 3. Punchbowl gave exclusive access for flyout days. What that means is they interviewed John Thune for their program, Flyout Days. I don't know what the exclusive access is. If it was exclusive access, it would go, the arrow would go the other way up to Punchbowl. But of course, John Thune has not just exclusively appeared on Punchbowl. All right, 3 to 4, Thune and to the SAVE Act, he refuses filibuster reform and the bill dies. And then the SAVE Act to back to one, interest protected, keep funding. This makes no sense. This makes absolutely no sense. And I don't really understand the yellow line.
I guess it's PAC donations to John, from businesses to John Thune's PAC.
So wouldn't it make more sense to just eliminate Punchbowl from the
staff? Yes, yes. That's what's so funny about it. The corporations are giving the money to Thune, but it's really Punchbowl that's pulling the strings by letting him come on their podcast. It's good stuff.
Bulwark Takes is sponsored by Quince. These days, I'm all about quality over quantity, especially in my closet. If it's not well made and versatile, it's just not worth it to me. That's why I love Quince. The fabrics feel elevated, the cuts are thoughtful, and the pricing actually makes sense. Quince makes high-quality wardrobe staples using premium fabrics like 100% European linen, 100% silk, all kinds of can't-miss seasonal colors and prints for spring, and versatile, well-made pieces that make getting dressed pretty simple. And if you're looking for something more laid back, well, my favorite joggers, they are also from, you guessed it, Quince. Quince works directly with safe, ethical factories and cuts out the middlemen. You're not paying for brand markups or fancy retail stores. You're just paying for quality clothing. Everything Quince makes is built to hold up season after season after season after season. The stitching, the fit, the fabrics, these are pieces you'll reach for over and over again. Quince clothing is consistently rated 4.5 to 5 stars by thousands of customers, real people wearing these pieces every day and actually loving them. So stop waiting to build your wardrobe that you actually want. You don't need a closet full of options. All you need are pieces that work. Right now, go to quince.com/bulwarktakes for free shipping and 365-day returns. That's a full year to wear it and to love it. And I promise you, you will love it. Don't keep settling for clothes that don't last. Go to quince.com/bulwarktakes for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/bulwarktakes.
I think you're right on there. I mean, she's kind of diagnosing. She sees this problem as like corporate influence, but she can't just say like, we need campaign finance reform, because that's not like a Republican coded issue. So she has to say, we have to beat up the media. And that's a thing Republicans can rally around.
Okay. And if people think this is silly, which it is, and we're laughing at it because it's so stupid, like there are people in power who take this seriously, right? I mean, like, so Elon obviously back in the Doge days was retweeting Data Republic all the time? Or is it Data Republican?
Whatever. Data Republican.
Data Republican.
Okay. Sorry, Data. Sorry, Data Republic, if you're out there. And then yesterday I noticed this, I flagged it for Will. Harmy Dillon, who is like a top official at DOJ, number three there, randomly pulled RT'd something from May of 2000 and what was it, 25? So a couple, over a year ago, right? That was going after Punchbowl based on this very stuff. Like, this stuff is percolating pretty high, but I mean, Will, is it your sense that this person still has like influence in these circles? Is Elon still tweeting her?
Yeah, I mean, I think people are finding this very credible on the right. I mean, you know, what I have found over and over is if you kind of just like present something really confidently, particularly if you have something that comes with graphs, I mean, we can also think of like the Nick Shirley videos in Minnesota. On the right, if you just sort of like are like, look what I have uncovered, or like James O'Keefe will say, look what I uncovered, and it's something that's already public and not really a big deal, people will buy into it and they get really excited. In this case, Mike Lee, the senator from Utah, he's been really into this. He's like, you know, these specific Punchbowl reporters are like lobbyists. They're kind of creeping around. And the thing I want to point out here is that, you know, in that graph when it says exclusive access to flyout days, I think she's really doing a little trick there, because flyout days, if you don't know, that's the name of their podcast. You think, oh, that's like some junket or like some like vacation they're sending John Thune on, rather than that he gets to go to a townhouse three blocks from the Capitol and sit with journalists for an hour. Who could resist? I mean, I can see that's quite a perk.
Yeah, it's people should check out Flat Days, actually. It's kind of interesting. They show up at the townhouse, which Punchbowl owns, and they sit and they do an interview at their townhouse. It's not like an incredibly, you know, glitzy studio or anything. They're just there talking to Jake and Anna and Andrew Desiderio and John and all these people. And it's just, it's basic 101 shit. And if you didn't, you know, it doesn't take much to understand that this is just classic Capitol Hill journalism. And yet they've, I will say this, people should understand, this was done, and Andrew hinted at it, early in the Doge days. And it was, do you remember this was focused at Politico Pro? And Andrew, you wrote about this, right?
Probably. I read so many newsletters.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, anyways, they went after Politico Pro because they said they were funding AID or USA. They were getting USAID funds, which was so ridiculous. It's just subscriptions from these agencies. And they ended up convincing basically a ton of agencies to cancel their Pro subscriptions. It really materially mattered to Politico. They lost a fair bit of revenue. And I know this came up in a recent Politico all-hands meeting where they're like, we have not replaced that revenue. I don't think anything like that's happening at Punchbowl yet, but this stuff does matter, right, Andrew?
Yeah, I mean, it absolutely matters. And I mean, these particular stories that we are talking about are kind of these insider baseball, you know, media revenue type stories. And we should not forget that this is not sort of like the exclusive, like, it's not like she's just going after these media companies. It's kind of funny that she is here. It's kind of funny that she is, you know, trying to come up with all of these arcane reasons why an establishment Republican would maybe want to keep the legislative filibuster intact, like they always have for all of time. But you know, last year during Doge, this was not the only thing she was focusing on either. I mean, a lot of people forget, like, the sort of, I don't know if it was exactly the genesis of Elon's sort of like conviction that these programs were just completely riddled with fraud, but it was an enormous part of what kind of built that up in his head of like going from maybe there's some wasteful contracts here to wow, there's like a bazillion wasteful contracts here to basically all of USAID is just this big fraud laundering machine. It was her tweets were a big part of that. And what was the outcome of that? Not just Politico Pro, you know, losing a big, or Politico losing this big revenue stream. It was canceling all of this humanitarian aid that we used to do all around the world with sort of like this unimaginable actual human cost. So it's this very weird story about this very weird lady who like happened to get Elon Musk's ear at this very interesting time. And it's a weird story, and it is a funny story, but it is all, we should not like gloss over how actually like significant the consequences have been of this woman's presence on the scene.
Will, where did she, last question for you, but where did she come from and how does she respond to the people who are constantly telling her your data is wrong?
she was just sort of like this on this person on Twitter. I mean, I really want to emphasize that. I mean, she had a software engineer job, and then she would tweet at people like Elon, or she has like a bit of a, I would say, unpleasant, you know, Twitter persona in terms of how she approaches liberals. I mean, admittedly, she's cutting all this money from refugees and what have you. But so she, like, for example, if something got, when the CFPB got shut down, she was like, look at this one, Elizabeth Warren. People liked that on the right. And so, I mean, she really sort of emerged as like, I think the people love this idea of kind of like, you know, we could really right size the government if only they would let the common folk in and use common sense to make these cuts. And that's, I think, what she represents to people. However, she's also wrong constantly. And so, you know, to the point you made, Sam, how does she respond? Usually she ignores it. I mean, as you said, she said Bill Kristol's a deep state agent. She's made a lot of errors, you know, with Doge. She said, we should cut this contract. It's a contract that doesn't exist, or she's misunderstanding what it is. But, you know, I think to Andrew's point, it kind of gets to that. What's revealing here is how so much of it, I think the actions of the Trump administration or the Republican Party are just based on like a shred of evidence, often one that's misconstrued.
All right. Well, this is inherently dumb, but also inherently important. And I appreciate you following her for us, Will. And Andrew, thank you for joining us too and giving us your analysis. Appreciate that. To the good people at Punchbowl News, my buds over there, I'm sorry going through this. This sucks. But I do enjoy your flyout days. Keep those going, okay? And if you can get John Thune to do something, you know, I don't know, maybe restore some USAID cuts, convince him of that. Will, Andrew. Take care, buddy.
Can I add one
buddy.
More Data Republican tidbit?
Yeah, of course.
Data Republican's mom is also really active on Twitter. Her name is Mom of Data Republican. And she is honestly more into, she has kind of like also a cartoon avatar. And she's like more into jousting with her daughter's critics. So maybe, you know, maybe she'll be taking on Punchbowl, or if we point out this is all fake, maybe she'll come after us. So hello, Mom of Data Republican. Talk with you soon.
Mom of Data Republican. Go, if you got to go after someone, it's got to be Will. Just, he deserves it, okay?
Subscribe to the Bulwark, Mom of Data Republic.
Yeah, Mom of Data Republic.
So much good stuff.
Subscribe to the Bulwark. We don't do flyout day, Mom of Data Republican. It's a completely clean subscription, so don't worry about it. For everyone else, if you're not subscribed to the Bulwark, please do so as well. We'll talk to you later. Really appreciate it. Fellas, talk to you soon.